You're Raven, right? Show me your tattoo.
It's like the family I never had.
Everyone on the ground now!
We've identified a dozen organized police gangs within your department. I know all about the Ravens.
How do I know he ain't a cop?
We're all cops.
Everybody deserves a second chance.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Black Hollywood Lives this week. I'm your host, Dario Christian. Joining me today is a full panel of black folks.
We got a whole lot of black people.
I mean, every black folk in LA is on our panel today. We got Courtney Stewart.
What's up, y'all?
And we got some special guests. You just saw the trailer for The Oath, the new Crackle show that is premiering tonight, actually. Right, fellas?
Yes, it's streaming now. All 10 episodes free.
All 10 episodes free. Well, we got the stars with us in the house. We got Corey Hardrick.
Yes.
Welcome.
Thank you, Black Hollywood Live. Appreciate you for having us.
Kwame Patterson.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And hey, Arlen Escarpita.
Escarpita.
I did the remix. Escarpita. It was the Midwest jumping out on me right there. My country Midwest. Sorry about that. And we also got other people in the house with us today. We have stylist, author of Hair Therapy, Growing Your Hair, Beautiful Natural Hair, all that fun stuff. Tiffany Anderson with us today. Mm-hmm. And also, bada bing, bada bang, with the coolest hat in LA.
That's right.
Like, bada bing, bada bing, bada boom.
Adding stuff and making stuff up.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right. He got it. It sounded good.
I got it.
He had to bring the style today.
He brought the style.
That's right.
All right, fellas, this show, you know, that trailer has got me going with this. So tell us about the show so people who don't know, who haven't seen the trailer, would give a little bit more information. What's going on with it?
Our show really just centers around the that underbelly of cop gangs. You know, we've seen gangs in L.A. and stuff like that, but these are cops that are gangs, you know, and how they operate for good, for bad, how tight they are, and why they do what they do. Earlier today, we were talking about how, you know, we all know the difference between right and wrong. On our show, you're going to see us go from right and wrong to necessary, you know. We get pushed to the wall for good and for bad, and then you got a neck bone over here played by Kwame Patterson, and, you know, we running from this man.
you
got the serious job, huh?
You know what's coming next after the neckbone.
And what about each one of your characters?
Tell us a little bit.
I mean, Neckbone is like he's smart, calculated. Pretty much Neckbone, if Neckbone was born in Beverly Hills, he'd be able to run a 500 fortune company, you know. It's just that he was born on the raw side of the tracks. You know, he's a businessman. He's not your typical street drug dealer. You know, he owns businesses. He's very smart. And, you know, Neckbone is like one of those people that when he talks, everybody listens. When he walk in a room, everybody notices. You know, so.
I'm like, all right.
That's Neckbone.
That's like, how we always Neckbone.
Right.
He got nothing to say.
Yeah, Neckbone. Right. Rice and gravy. Next. Right.
What about your character?
I play Cole Hammond. My name's Corey Hardrick. I play Cole Hammond. And I'm an adopted, you know, child into the family. And what happens is, you know, I got a white father and a white brother. So it's like already, I'm already kind of like, you know, trying to feel like I want to be accepted by this family. And then I'm into the cop world as well. So I'm not trying to step on no one's toes. I'm trying to do everything that they want me to do. But I'm really like an emotional guy on the show, hard on his sleeves. He's really intense, but he has a lot of bottled up energy from his past, like that he deals with. So as the season go on, you know, it slowly comes out, and he just can't hold back no more. And he just you know, take it to the next level. And, that's Cole Hammond right there. So yeah, the show's incredible. It's about cops, family, you know, relationships, and it just goes into this endangered environment ran by Neckbone and his crew. And y'all gonna love it, you know. It's like Breaking Bad, Sons of Anarchy mixed with Lil Wire, and it's real. I mean, all of us are real guys, so you know what y'all gonna get when y'all see the show. So,
and Arlen,
I play Damon Bird, and Damon is a undercover FBI. I'm also part of the Ravens, not by their choice. You know, I kind of get forced into that circle, and I'm really, at least in my opinion, the moral compass of the show, because I really am trying to do things right. You know, but once you get wrapped up in that that world of necessity, you find yourself doing things that you probably would never think you would do. And you really get to see Damon grow up from episode 1 all the way through episode 10. You see him. He becomes a different person you know, and he's forced to grow up and face the realism of what it is. It's no longer black and white. It's that gray area, and that's where our show really shines, because that gray area is where it becomes interesting. You know, we know 1 + 1 is always 2, but when you get in that gray area where good is not always good and bad is not always bad, that's where that drama and that intrigue to watch and to keep coming back to watch goes on.
It sounds intense. Like, I'm all about it.
Cause trust me.
It's very intense.
It's very intense, yeah.
It's his, a special show.
His face alone makes me feel like he was smiling. He wasn't even smiling, but he was sort of smiling. He's like, it is intense.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm going to punch you. I'm going to stand that, brother.
Yeah.
Now, 50 Cent is a part of this show, right? Yeah. He's the executive producer.
That's right.
Yeah. And, now, did they come to him, or was he already involved? And like, how did that all work with him?
I think when we came on board, 50 was already in the fold with the show itself. But as an executive producer, I mean, we can all attest to the fact that the man is a genius. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He knows how to push what he's pushing. He has the respect. We know with his name on here, we're gonna get the eyes on it.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? All we have to do is go out there and do our jobs.
And the work speaks for itself too. When you see it, we're just not promoting it. Like, oh, just watch this. You know, we all believe in it. We all gave like 1,000%. We all worked so hard on it as a collective. You know, the whole cast, crew, everybody, just filming out there in Puerto Rico. So, you know, 50's really behind the show, and he really believes in it. He ain't gonna put his name on nothing he don't believe in.
That's true. Yeah.
So look what happened with the power. So I believe, you know, this can possibly be in that, you know, space as well. You know, God willing. So,
definitely,
it's exciting.
Well, for those of us that are already fans of like the cop genre and this sort of like, you know, street dramas and that kind of thing, what sets you guys apart and will make people want to be like, yes, I'm gonna look at that?
Wow, I mean, I believe it doesn't. It's a show that's unapologetic. It doesn't hold back, and we really take it there, you know. And it has great, you know, it's based on family, so we got great relationships. And then we have the police department, and we all have the relationships there. And it just, you know.
You know what else I think what really will separate us as well? Our showrunner, our creator, Joe Halpin. Yeah. So Joe was he was an ex sheriff deputy for like 17, 20 something years. So a lot of what you're seeing on screen, either he's been aware of, he's seen, he's been a part of, you know, clearly for TV purposes, things have to be switched and changed, but it's coming from a real place, you know, and with us on screen, we get to dive into that world head first, and we're not operating under a network TV umbrella. Mm-hmm. This is Crackle, so we can do what we want to do.
Right.
You know, when you're playing outside the box, there's no rules. So I think that definitely sets us apart.
It's a lot of violence on this show. I tell you that right now. But it's all it's
necessary.
You know,
it's necessary. It's real.
It's real.
I think another thing too is that with the show, this separates it too. Is that this is real life.
Right.
Like, we don't realize. Like, we see, like, shows like The Wire, and we see the gang side and all that stuff in the street side, but we don't realize there's a lot of crooked cops out there that's doing things. I mean, Baltimore literally just indicted, I think, 8 cops that had a cop gang.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And they were pretty much doing the same thing that's going on in the Oath. I mean, they were, you know, arresting drug dealers, taking their drugs, giving it to their crew to sell drugs for them on the street. You know, and it was the same thing. And they were working for another big-time drug dealer, which is the reason why they was knocking his competition off for him. And, like, I mean, this is real. So I think that's what really separates the show from a lot of the cop shows that we see on TV. A lot of times they're not as real.
The good guys aren't always good, and the bad guys aren't always bad.
Exactly. Yeah.
But did it change your perspective of, like, law enforcement and people in law enforcement at all by doing this show?
Not for me. I mean, you know, I understand that there's bad cops and there's good cops.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it didn't change my perspective. Like, it didn't sway me one way or the other. You know, it's always just still been the same. I understand it. You know, like he said earlier, there's good guys and there's bad guys. It's just, you know, it's what it is.
I'm on board with Kwame. I think, I don't think it changed my perspective per se. I still believe, you know, that we live in a dangerous world, you know, it's dangerous for everybody, specifically, you know, people of color. Yeah. And I don't think that's anything to ever shy away from, because it's real. It's happening every single day, you know, someplace, somewhere. So if our show can at least open up that dialogue and that conversation to let people say, hey, it's not just an isolated thing. It happens. It's real, you know, so talk about it, you know, and hopefully we can, you know, spark that conversation and maybe have some change happen.
Yeah, well, we are definitely seeing a fluctuation of African-American content being really, you know, looked at now, especially with these different networks and streaming places that are opening up opportunities for new directors and actors and producers. So I'm excited for you guys to see how you guys are going to break the platform for this as well for Crackle, you know, and it's a game changer for them. So
Black is the new black.
Black is the new black. We're trying to make this. It's always been black. Now it's the new black. That's the new black. Well, we know we got to get you guys out of here. So where can fans find you on social media?
You can find me on Instagram at Corey Hardrick, on Twitter at Corey Hardrick, Facebook. I got a fan page, so I'm out here. So, yeah. March 8th, today.
Same here. It's at Arlen Escarpeta. My last name is a little bit funny for some people, so it's E-S, carpet, and then the letter A.
There you go. There you go.
Kwame. And for me, same thing, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Kwame Patterson.
All right, but congratulations, fellas. We're going to get you guys out of here, but we'll be checking out. Thank you, guys. Go ahead and watch all 10 episodes if you want to.
Right now.
And it's free. That's the good thing.
It's free.
You know black folks love some free stuff. Yeah, I do.
Full free.
It's full free. Let's do it.
And Corey, congratulations. You got a new baby on the way. So
you know, girl coming. Thank you so much. Yes, appreciate you guys.
Working and dad. A lot of new things going on right now.
You got to do it all. There's some real black fathers out here now.
That's right.
Some real ones.
That's right.
Amen to that.
Amen to that.
I'm home every night with my baby. Come on now.
Preach, brother.
Crazy. Good fathers out here.
That's right. Don't get it twisted.
Don't get it twisted. I'll still go upside somebody's head.
That's right.
All right, fellas. We're gonna roll. You got some other information for us?
I think we have another trailer about a new movie that we want to talk about, too.
That's right. The Forgiven.
Yes. Yeah,
so I actually saw it yesterday. It stars Forrest Whitaker and Eric Bana. We got a little trailer here. It's from Saban Films. It's coming out tomorrow, and I want you guys to check it out.
All right.
Prisoner Blumfeld, you have a visitor.
Father, please find me just one piece of bone.
I promise.
Don't go to that prison. He's only out to harm you.
But he knows
who killed this girl.
He's a psychopath and a convicted killer. He'll try and destroy you.
Amnesty for your crimes. Highly unlikely. Unless you tell me about this Operation Hacksaw. How does it feel?
I told him.
Colluding with your former white masters.
Colonel, do you have nothing to say to these families? They are your own people.
Tears have no color.
Killing someone is never political. Killing someone is personal, boy.
Don't call me boy.
I could tell you a thing or two about what's buried in this country. About hit squads, about Hacksaw.
You can't forgive the likes of me.
We are all connected by a common humanity. No one is beyond redemption.
Blumfeld is going to talk.
If he crosses, he sinks us all.
There's been a bomb threat against the commission.
Take out Blumfeld.
Let him come. Let him come!
One nation now.
All right, guys, that's the trailer for The Forgiven right there. Eric Bana, Forrest Whitaker. It is a great movie. It is a it's a deep and intense movie. It's about Archbishop Desmond Tutu and his major meeting with murderer Pyatt Blumfeld. The story of the meeting of those two and a little bit of backstory around the Archbishop. So, and some of the dramas that he went through in that position. So check it out. Comes out tomorrow, March 9th, and it's a pretty good film.
Well, speaking of things coming out tomorrow, March 9th, I celebrate A Wrinkle in Time. It's coming out tomorrow. It is an excellent movie for all of y'all out there that just want to go and live in fantasy land for a little while. It was really beautifully done. Ava DuVernay, full shout out to you, girl, because you did that all the way. And just for those out there who want to like help somebody, help some kids, go see, you know, a movie that, you know, shows some kids of color doing some things that we don't always get to see on screen, you guys can check out Questlove's Quest Challenge. It's called The Wrinkle Challenge, and you can go online, just Google hashtag Wrinkle Challenge, and you can go online and donate. Starting at $10, you can buy a free ticket for a kid to see the movie in theaters, because the AMC theaters are donating, well, not donating, because, you know, you donate the $10 and they'll give a ticket to a child that wants to see the movie. So get the kids to see the movie, guys. Wrinkle in Time, coming out tomorrow.
All right, this should be called like the movie edition of the show.
All the movies that are coming out.
We're basically doing, you know, Rotten Tomatoes, but you can check out our show, Black Tomatoes.
Yeah, I'm not going to judge Wrinkle in Time, but critique it. Right. I just said it was a great watch. You should definitely check it out. It's a must see. Everybody should check it out. Same way we supported Black Panther, we need to support Wrinkle in Time.
Absolutely,
it's a beautiful movie. All right, so speaking of supporting people, all of us Black folks, you know, we've been in love with Tiffany Haddish now for going on a year.
Yep.
You know, Girls Trip came out last year, and she blew up after that. Some of us knew her beforehand, and we're, you know, all about her, and so excited for her to finally have her moment. She's been having her moment. She's been having her moment everywhere. She did Saturday Night Live. She was at the Oscars this past weekend.
I saw her, yeah. I interviewed her, actually.
Most of us think, you know, she was great, right? Like, everybody up here is like, she's the best thing ever.
Yeah.
Well, somebody on Facebook decided, oh, no, she's not. She is doing way too much. And he decided to write a whole long post about it that kind of went viral over Facebook. This young man's name is Ja'Cory McQueen. He considers himself a journalist. And he basically wrote a post in which he said, quote, I want Tiffany Haddish to win as much as the next person of color, but I don't want her to do it in a way that embarrasses our race. He went on to describe all of the things that she has done that he considers to be an embarrassment. Some things include how she mispronounced the names when she was announcing the Academy Award nominees and she couldn't say some of the names properly. How she took off her shoes at the Oscars this past weekend and happily jumped over the velvet rope to greet Meryl Streep. And he just thought she was kind of like out of line and she's doing too much for the people and it's making us look bad. And a lot of people started to agree, and a lot of people also came for him online. So what do you guys think? Is Tiffany Haddish doing the most and embarrassing the race?
I don't think she's embarrassing the race, but I do think, you know, as you get older, you kind of tone things down. So I think some of her tactics or antics are a little bit not age appropriate.
All right.
Interesting. She said age appropriate.
Yes.
She sounded like somebody's mama over there.
You
she
know,
said, you know,
right here.
So she was like 20, you'd be like, all right, she's just being silly.
Right.
She's a grown ass woman.
Right. And I don't knock anyone from like the attention that they get, but sometimes you do have to little, you know, be conscious. It's a place and, you know, for everything. Everything. A time and place. Okay.
A time and place.
I mean, it's just interesting. I think that it's a fine line between comedy and, you know, being a person who we look for to be articulate and represent us in certain ways. Mm-hmm. A lot of her things are just a part of her shtick, you know? So it's like she, you know, if you look at a lot of comedic guys or gals in the past, they all kind of had, some of them were over the top. And I mean, people used to criticize Kevin Hart when he sort of like was at that transitional stage of really blowing up. You know, I think that it's a fine line. I mean, when I saw her with the whole Oscars name thing and all that, did I cringe a little bit? I was like, oh, but that's Tiffany, you know? It's like, that's what she does. She's like, I'm gonna give it to you hood, you know? But you know that she's super smart, you know? So it doesn't bother me per se in that realm. I mean, I get it how some people could rub them the wrong way, but it doesn't really bother me because it's part of her act a lot of times.
What about you, Bada Bing?
I think Tiffany Haddish is having fun, you know? As long as she's not on TMZ getting no trouble or something like that, you know, where they're trying to show negative. I mean, if she wants to have fun, she's successful now, you know? So she's just lashing out and just having fun instead of, you know, walking the same route that everybody's going with the grain. You know, she's having fun and she's just doing what she likes to do. But, you know, time's short. So I'm backing up Tiffany Haddish.
I think I agree. Like, I don't, because at first, like you said, like, there was, when she was doing the announcements for the Academy Awards, I was like, dang, man, y'all couldn't have put the, like, what do you call it, the phonetic spelling so she could say it right. But at the same time, you're human, and some of them names is hard.
Right.
So
right,
she was doing what she could with what she, and I didn't feel like she was like doing it on purpose to try to be funny. Like I felt like she legit was like, I don't know what that man's name is. I'm gonna try my best, and like, and that is more endearing and honest.
Right.
So
right.
I appreciate that, and I do see like, yeah, you kind of grown and you acting kind of crazy, but I also like that it sort of shows that this Hollywood thing is kind of weird. And that space between when you were a regular person and suddenly you're a famous person and like you're now meeting people that you've admired and see these people, because the kid, Ja'Cory, who did the original article, he made the statement like saying, you're occupying the same space as all of these people. Like, you don't have to act like they're so far above you and all this and whatnot. And I just kind of feel like it's kind of honest also to see that transition happen on camera. That like, yo, I was not famous yesterday and now Meryl Streep is sitting right next to me and fuck it, I think that's kind of wild. It's kind of exciting and crazy. Yeah. So I appreciate that she still lives in that space instead of trying to pretend like it's all cool. I'm famous now. I'm good.
I feel that.
Because when I'm famous and rich like that, girl, I'm going to act a fool too.
Right.
All right, stop.
Famous and rich now.
I know that's right.
I don't care how old I am. I'll be 15 and I'll be like, what?
Right, wilding out.
Jumping on Denzel's back. Just kidding.
Although I don't see you, I don't see you mispronouncing nobody's name, though. That ain't even your skill.
The words are my thing. But like, what is her thing? Like, pronunciation is my stuff. Like, it would be go against who I am, but whatever. Tiffany, congratulations, keep building, girl.
Keep building that empire, girl.
Ain't nobody hating on that. All right, speaking of continuing to build, we also have an interesting incident that happened at the Oscars this past weekend when Frances McDormand won her Best Actress Oscar for Three Billboards. She mentioned something in her speech, basically saying that everybody out here needs to look at and look up and add to their lives inclusion writers. And basically what she was referring to is something in Hollywood that, you know, if you're famous enough and you got enough pull, when you get pulled onto a project, you can have a writer in your contract that says you want a certain amount of diversity in your crew and in the casting of the film or TV show or whatever it is. So apparently Michael B. Jordan maybe got, you know, inspired by that speech, or maybe he was already in motion about this, but he announced yesterday actually that he will be using inclusion writers for all of his projects going forward with his company, whose name is Outlier Society Productions. So everything that he is a part of with his company and that he owns, he will have inclusion writers on. And he said, quote, I've been privileged to work with powerful women and persons of color throughout my career, and it's Outlier's mission to continue to create for talented individuals going forward. So everybody's celebrating and excited that he's, you know, put it out there and making steps, and hopefully like every lots of people will follow suit. Maybe not everybody, but
what I like about Michael B is I feel like he's the millennial that is making some moves and changes in Hollywood, even though, you know, it's not just about him. Like, he has his hands in a lot of different projects that he's really trying to help and support.
Yeah,
people
that
of color
franchise did him real good.
Real good.
It set him up real nice.
Very nice.
Yes,
yeah. So he's giving it back too. So I appreciate that. You know,
right, should be over a sequel to that.
It's coming out in November, I believe.
Is it November? Oh, I thought it was November next year. So yeah, it's coming out soon.
Like that. Yeah, somewhere there.
I'll be watching him work out online. Like,
I bet you do.
And you're like, who?
Like, you
Killmonger.
You must be doing something right, because y'all just got real.
They
know. Y'all fanning each other.
Right.
His trainer be posting them videos on a regular. That's my gym inspiration.
Oh, that's your inspiration.
I need to go to the gym. I look at Mr. Kaye and I'm like, oh.
Right there.
Now I see you. Okay.
I see what you're doing. All right. So, yeah.
All right.
Go
well,
Michael B.
Go Michael B, because that was exciting. And it was also exciting Frances getting that award.
You were glad Frances won?
It was just an exciting award show. I was happy about Get Out.
I was excited. We didn't talk about that.
Okay. So, Get Out, just hands down to me, I was just happy for Get Out. Because I just felt like that is not your typical movie that would get nominated
for
an Oscar, and that is such a game changer, even though now we're going to see like 30 Get Outs.
Right, right.
Everybody going to create their version of Get Out.
Domino effect.
Exactly.
So that's the only, I mean, that's the good and the bad thing, because that means there's going to be more African-American content out there and more things getting picked up. And on the flip side, it's going to be like a flooding of the same type of movie, which we're going to run into the same problems that we say about everything else, that we get oversaturated by doing the same type of stories. But hopefully that won't be the case.
Real quick, also to piggyback off that, I don't know if you guys heard, but he's also the first African American
to win the
Best Adapted Screenplay.
Yes, he was.
It was original, right?
The original.
It was original screenplay.
Oh, my bad. Yeah, Best Original Screenplay.
Yes. Yep. It was all huge. And even in his speech, he talked about how it was a 20-year process that he wrote this, you know, 20 years ago, and he never thought it would be brought to light, you know, and the fact that he's winning an Oscar off of that, you know, it's just
genius. And I love when people say that, because it's hard, especially when you're not in it, in this Hollyweird, right, to understand, like, 20 years, y'all. 20 years to get a screenplay, like, to come to fruition and make something happen with it. Like, yeah, this didn't just happen. People don't just wake up suddenly and everything is famous and wonderful and money is thrown at you to make the things that you're passionate about. Like, this stuff takes time and work. So, yeah, I appreciated that.
And to answer your question, I thought this was a better award show for the Oscars than the past. And I think just because, well, here's the thing. I did the red carpet. So I saw all the people of color there and just, you know, it just was a moment. It was like a moment even when the Black Panther crew came in and everybody was like,
my baby daddy,
you know, everybody, you know, Chadwick and Lupita, and you know, we all were kind of like standing with each other. And it was just like a proud moment.
So you felt the pride of the color and all of the inclusiveness on the carpet.
On the carpet.
But like the actual show itself.
It was better than it years before with inclusion. I mean, we're not there yet, but it was better than before.
Like the show.
The show is okay. I mean, okay. I think the Oscars Oscars to me are the most boring show out of all of them.
I swear.
You know what I mean? Like, out of all of the Golden Globes and the SAG Awards, I think the SAG Awards, I mean, I think the Oscars, they need champagne set up at the tables. They need to get turned up a little bit. We need to see. You know what I'm saying? It's hard in that theater, but it was better than it was in the years before. Yeah. And there was a lot of things going on at the Oscars.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I felt like it was weird. Like, the energy was weird. Watching the carpet was weird and uncomfortable and awkward. And, like, the vibe, just like we said at the SAG Awards when we did the carpet, like, the energy was very different, obviously, for obvious reasons. There's some crazy stuff going on.
Yeah.
But then to watch the show, the vibe kind of felt. But then everybody jumped up and down when Get Out won for the screenplay. So it was like, yay, it all made it. But how was it 4 hours and whack? Like, I don't know.
Right.
Because it was the longest, like, in a while.
Yeah, it was. It was long. You know, I mean, it's a work in progress, I guess. Because, like I said, I always thought that the Oscars were the most boring one out of all of them anyway. So my expectation of it probably is here versus here.
We didn't have, like, Hugh Jackman to sing and dance or anything.
That did not happen. But we had Mary J. perform her song. And she
did.
Miguel.
I'm going to say this because I just found it real funny. You know Miguel did a great job.
Miguel did a great job. Miguel performed at the Oscars. That alone.
That.
You know what I'm saying?
That's big.
That alone is better than years before. Miguel performed at the Oscars.
That's fair. All right. But I do have to say about Mary's performance, like, they should have given instructions to the crowd that she was about to do a church kind of song because
they were
she had did the whole song,
right?
And at the end, everybody's clapping, and then they did their reprise because they in a choir and they about to sing again. Right. And the audience literally, the camera went to the audience, and the audience was like,
they didn't know what to do.
Okay.
They didn't know what to do.
So I find comedy in those things.
Right.
Right.
You win some, you lose.
That was funny.
You know?
Yeah. Well,
but she looked great, too.
Yeah, she did look great. Oh, so then, you know, every year they do this big governor's ball thing that takes place at the Oscars. It's like the who's who in Hollywood that goes to this party.
Did you get to go to the governor's
ball? You know, I stopped by a section
of
it. I'm not going to use the word slide in because, you know, they're very strict.
Oh.
You know, you will not be allowed back to Oscars if you do anything wrong. That's the only award show I've ever been to where when you have to scan your badge to walk in and scan your badge to walk out because they want to know that you left.
Right. Wow.
They want to know that you're still not in here.
Right. Mm.
So, but a friend of mine does the governor's ball, so, you know, it was an opportunity to be able to kind of slide in there for a second. Now, with that, it's very interesting because I don't know if you guys heard about this, but Frances McDormand, won the Best Actress Award, and she gave people loved her speech, as you mentioned. Well, something very interesting happened to her at the Governor's Ball. She had her Oscar in hand, and a man by the name of Terry Bryant, who I did see, actually, which is ironic. I saw him several times before the alleged crime, which is not even alleged. So Terry Bryant was arrested because so the governor's ball is kind of like on two floors of the Dolby Center, and you know, people kind of in and out and they have their awards. So Frances, apparently, I'm sure she had won her award, maybe passed it off to someone or someone from her team, and I think Mr. Terry Bryan, who had a ticket to the governor's ball, he decided that maybe he wanted to take her award home with him versus her taking the award home with herself.
Yeah.
So it caught all on video of him walking around with the award, and people were kind of like, you know, at first no one paid attention, but then he literally was walking around with the award and kind of making it a bigger deal that he had the award. And a photographer caught wind to this and looked at him and started to think, like, wait a minute, remember him.
I don't remember him winning anything.
And I saw the entire awards show, and I don't remember whose posse you are exactly in. What squad are you with?
Yeah.
So the photographer followed Mr. Terry Bryant, and apparently realized that, you know, Mr. Terry Bryant wasn't part of Francis' entourage, yeah. and called the authorities. And
wow.
So. Mr. Terry Bryant has pleaded guilty. He says he has pleaded not guilty.
Not guilty.
But we have a little clip here, and you tell me if you are not going to plead guilty when you see yourself on this video. Okay, please play this TMZ clip. This is outside the governor's ball. And in a few seconds, we're going to see Mr. There's Mr. Terry right there. You know he's happy. He just won his award. Wait, he did not win his award. He stole his award. So that's a little clip of him. You know, he is proud of that. And the best part is this: there's another video that actually shows him walking into the party with Frances McDormand, and he kind of jumped in with her posse. You kind of see her look at him like, I don't know what this is, but she could have, you know, she may have been like, maybe he's with security, or maybe he's somebody's friend. He, you know, whatever. Kept him moving. So now Terry. So Terry is now being charged with a felony for stealing, you know, a suspicion of a felony theft.
Yeah.
And as I mentioned, he pleaded not guilty, but he has a bail of $20,000. And, you know, I can't even lie to y'all. What I was most disappointed about, I was like, please don't let him be black.
Oh,
I was like, please, God. Don't let him be black. We got the most black people ever that's winning at the Oscars. Please don't let Mr. Dry Ponytail.
This is what we're talking about.
I was like, please don't let Mr. Dry Ponytail be the one.
But can I say he really did like a despicable me?
Yes,
he did. He really did.
I'm going to steal the moon.
Right.
I'm not going to steal an Oscar.
Right, I'm going to steal an Oscar.
No, he did. But the best is his attorney, like her argument right now for why he did it, because he wasn't actually stealing the award. She said that the reason that this happened is because we live in this new Kardashian culture,
right,
where people just get famous for doing nothing and doing crazy things. And he was just trying to get famous. He wasn't actually going to take the award.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He was just trying to get famous.
We're talking about him now. He's famous.
Oh, he is famous. He's in there.
So it works.
It works.
It worked. And now he's going to be famous.
He's going to be famous and go to jail.
Famously.
With a felony on your record.
Like, ridiculous.
And you notice that, you know, listen, he had the wavy ponytail. He had the wavy ponytail. In the video,
stop
y'all
it.
Notice that.
Stop.
Now
that's
y'all look
not
at
right.
him.
He wasn't looking like
that
peekaboo.
Why did I look like that? That is not okay.
That's wrong right there.
You know, he got the.
He was all slick back.
You know, he had his juices. He had his wave nouveau jumping off.
He did.
You know what I'm saying?
He's carefree.
You know, now they got him looking like Sealy. And, you know, that's I'm just saying.
He was permed up.
He was permed up. He had his makeup on.
That person,
Terry, good luck with your argument and with your lawyer's argument,
that's
Terry.
Good luck, Terry.
All right.
Good luck, Terry. Frances does not want to.
She don't want to press charges. But she doesn't have anything.
You know, she doesn't own the award.
Right.
All right. So now we're going to talk about something really special. Outside of this, we
if
have.
You don't want to look like that, man.
If you don't want to look like that, the person who's in the house with us will teach you how not to look like that, Miss Tiffany Anderson. And I'm going to say the name of the book again. Author of Hair Therapy. Cures for Growing Your Beautiful Natural Hair. And
it's
Courtney is
hair.
Is
Vanna
Black right now.
Right.
Courtney's Vanna Black showing the cover of the book. Vanna Black, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Now, you have a hair model with us. What's your hair model's name?
Sasha.
DJ Sasha.
In the house.
She's also a hot DJ all through Hollywood.
And dancer.
Listen, invite us to the show. All right.
Yeah.
So now Sasha's rocking. You twisted that up
she
real quick. Like her hair was all long.
Minutes,
and, like I'm looking back now, she looked like Lupita. So so you're going to tell us about certain looks that people can do, you know, just easy at home.
Okay, yes.
Okay.
So kind of our looks or our is the Oscar award. So a lot of the looks for the models or like Lupita was wearing, Viola Davis, it was all about textures. Mm-hmm. So you want to create textures when you're trying to achieve certain looks. And then the textures create volumes and it allows you more the hair to be more versatile. So what I did is first she washed her hair and then we – kind of air dried it, blow dried it, but not with the dryer because we didn't want it straight. We still wanted those her curl pattern to stay in it. And I teased it a little bit. I put some cornrows at the top and at the crown of her head, brought the back to a ponytail, teased, you know, that's back combing, and then just start folding, creating something interesting. And then I also laid some, Lupita was rocking some color with yarn, some hair accessory, hair ornament. So then we just intertwined the hair ornament in between Miss Sasha's hair.
She's so looking good.
Beautiful.
Yes. And how long does that take to do something like that?
Normally, I'm like the 5-minute style person. Because of her hair texture, of course, it did take a little bit longer than the 5 minutes that I like to recommend. It took maybe like 15 minutes to create.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then what will people find in the book?
So in the book, Hair Therapy, Cures for Growing Your Beautiful Natural Hair, I talk a lot about how to appreciate your hair, how to achieve, I'm a trichologist, so that's a study of hair and scalp disorders. So a lot of women these days are suffering from thinning edges, yes, alopecia, mm-hmm, and they don't know how to overcome some of these issues. So I have before and after photos that I have in there that are actually my clients. I also talk about some of the insecurities that we end up not, why we don't take care of our hair or value it and stuff. I also share a lot of one-on-one. These are really tutorials from my clients and stuff. Because what I've found to happen is by the time clients or women come to me, I'm like their last resort. Okay. So they don't believe anymore. So like I was really they're like, oh no, this person's just going to take my money. And so I really want to encourage women that there are people out there that still value and can show you how to take care of your hair, how to get through those disorders and overcome a lot of those hair insecurities that we face.
Okay. Look at some knowledge.
Yeah, girl. Yeah.
Now, I know it caters to women, but is there anything in there to men?
Yes, it also caters to, we do know that male and female pattern baldness and thinning, we do know that it's not just for women.
Why'd you look at me when you said thinning?
No, I didn't say
that. Why'd you take an extra 5 seconds to say it?
No, I didn't. I was just doing a once over.
I'm still growing it out. It gets curly. I'm trying to grow it out.
Yeah, because what it showcases is all about your daily regimen. Like many people associate thinning, balding, and all that with age and hereditary, and that is a factor, but it's not the number one factor. The number one factor is how you take care of it. It's your daily regimen. Just like diabetes can be associated to age and hereditary, but we do know that we could counteract those the progress of it if we just change the way that we eat, exercise, and things like that. So that's also what your hair is. It's the exercising and then just changing the daily regimen and knowing the right products to use and knowing what is going to promote growth opposed to demote it, take it off and stuff like that.
All right, for sisters wearing their natural hair, what is the one thing you would tell them to stop doing that's destroying their hair?
The one thing I would tell them to stop doing is wetting the hair. water is, it has no nutrients in water. So what we do is like we have natural moisture. Everyone has natural moisture in their hair. You deplete it the more water you put in it, so it just dries it out. Mm-hmm. And it also and that's why a lot of people like use it to wet the hair, because we're under the impression that the water softens the hair, and it doesn't, because when it dries, it's just hard. And then we have to realize too that our water is hard. It's hard because we're putting something in it like to prevent it from causing bacteria. So you're putting all of that on your hair every single day. So you're taking out every natural thing that would benefit your hair and prevent it from shedding or coming out or turning hard or, from not being manageable. You're just depleting it with that water. It's like just rinsing it all the way out.
Wait, yeah. So how do you take showers then?
You wear a shower cap.
You know you gotta wear.
Right, Anthony, you must not date a black woman. They can get real creative when they don't want their hair wet.
Now listen, hold on.
Listen,
and
my
and you
sister
have
has
to,
like five different.
And
little,
what right, the misconception colors too is with people, hair is not dirty. What makes it dirty is what you put in it, because it starts sticking and getting all the pollutants that you're. That's why if your hair is just natural with the natural moisture and oil, it's not. It's what you put in it that has to be rinsed out and washed out. So that's normally why people wash it all the time, and they just, it's not dirty.
Well, how often would you say that a person should wash their hair per
week? I recommend natural hair. I recommend once a month, every 3 to 4 weeks.
Once a month, mm-hmm, really?
Literally, yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Good to know.
Yes. So for a guy, listen this real quick.
I don't wash my hair every day. Wait,
for a guy, you were asking about male. So in the book, I've shared also. So most people, like men, they've been washing their hair every day since they were like a teenager. So imagine washing your hair, a woman washing her hair every day. She wouldn't have hair like that first week. Mm-hmm. So you've been doing this from a teenager to like your 20s. So your mid-20s, you're going to start showing some thinning because that's not really healthy, wetting your hair every day.
That's good to know. Yes. I mean, I literally wash my hair pretty much every day because I sweat a lot. So I
And that's not dirt. Yeah. Yeah. So what you're doing is you're shocking the hairs on the skin. Your skin is a protectant, so it's drying out. But as it dries out, it grows layer to protect the scalp or the you're just growing layers and layers of skin over it. And that skin has to be exfoliated because another thing that people disassociate scalp from skin. So scalp has to be exfoliated just like your skin does. And you have to get those layers of skin off so that your hair follicles can come through.
Get that crust off, Daryl.
Get that crust off. Yeah.
Get that crust off. Right.
So because you don't have psoriasis or an excess, you know, of dandruff and stuff, doesn't mean that your scalp is still not being affected. And what you have to do is you can't ignore the thinning. Like, that's what we do. Like, for instance, if we just keep eating and you ignore it, you're going to gain weight. Mm-hmm. So if you ignore the thinning, then it's going to start coming out. If you ignore the coming out, then it's going to start balding.
But once you get to that place, can you get it back?
You can if it has not. Yes, you can.
Okay.
You can.
Is that in the book? Is that anything about that in the book too? I'm
like, yeah, right. Like, I need that book. Like, yeah, that's in there.
I know it says.
You're like, she said it was in there. I'm going to start turning pages. Right. Yes, it's in there.
Hold up.
Yes, yes.
And I know we got to get out of here, but what do you think about biotin? Like, those type of, like, are those products that you recommend? Or are there certain vitamins?
Hair affinity vitamins.
Yeah, like, are there certain vitamins that you recommend?
Hold your
hair tonight. So what I will say, because I do want to say, too, that I love Tiffany Haddish because I don't want her to come for me. I do love Tiffany, but I will say, so biotin, hair affinity, nothing has been recreated. It's nothing new under the sun. So just what people, it's not necessarily bad for it. It's a vitamin. You know what I mean? Yeah. But it's not necessarily going to give you the results that you want. You know what I mean? I'm not going to say it's bad for you.
Okay.
But yeah.
Well, if you could tell everybody one thing they should do to continue to promote healthy hair in themselves, what would be the one thing?
Moisturize. Definitely moisturize. Moisturize is the key because you want to seal in the moisture. Like, when our hair is out, it really dries out. So curly texture hair dries. Lord, like somebody evaporates, you know, sucks the dryness. So you really, to seal in the moisture, you want to twist it up at night, wear a sleep cap, add moisture to it. And products are also that I recommend are in the book as well. Mm-hmm. I also have a bonus. I'm an author of a children's book called I Love My Natural Hair, and that's in the back also.
Hey.
Mm-hmm. All right. Look at you.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Sister.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's my sister.
Yes.
So sweet.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap up. So where can fans find you on social media and all that fun stuff?
Okay. So Twitter, Tiffany's Natural. On Instagram, I am Tiffany Anderson. And on Facebook, Tiffany Anderson.
Sasha. All
right.
Bam.
All right. I'm everywhere. As
bada boom, bada bang.
Bada bang, right.
Bada bing, bada boom.
Bada bing.
On Instagram at Jay Hollywood. I'm Hollywood Jay. So Jay Hollywood, you know,
I love that.
Jay Hollywood on Instagram. And bada bing, bada boom is pretty much word of mouth. So you can't just get me by, you know.
That's the code. That's the knock knock. That's the knock knock. Bada bing.
That's the
knock
knock.
Right.
Hey, you right.
Right.
Oh, wait, before we close out, you can't have a hairstylist and not have her say, can people find you for
hair services? Oh, yes, sure. You can. Yes. Also, I'm located in the Bay Area, in Berkeley on 7th Street. And I'm also a mobile stylist. So if you guys don't want to leave, I come to you as well.
I like that.
Yeah,
Bay to LA.
Yes.
All right. Carpet events, everything.
Everything.
Yes, everything.
Well, thank you guys for tuning in today. I'm Daryl Christian. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And on Broken Famous on The Reels channel on Friday nights.
Oh, oh.
And we will see you guys next week.
Next week.
Peace.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Daryl Christian, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook,
tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live.
But can I leave?
Instagram me at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in. The views expressed here are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.